Father, again, we thank you that we know and understand the divine principle that faith comes by hearing the word, and that the way we please you is by faith, believing with that simple childlike belief. And Lord, I pray that you will work that in us, because that is what glorifies your name. Lord, we approach your word today knowing that we know nothing unless it is divinely revealed. And so we are completely and utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit illumining our minds to the revelation of your word. And Lord, we appropriate this now by faith in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I want today and over the next few weeks, Lord willing, and if he tarries, to really go back into some of the principles of the deeper life. The Lord's really laid this very firmly on my heart, that we need to be reminded from time to time why we're here, why God's doing what he's doing, why we find ourselves in the situations and trials that we are, and that above all, God never makes a mistake. And I'm calling our teaching, and probably next week as well, Knowing His Fullness, because that is the ultimate aim and purpose of the Holy Spirit in working within us the experience and knowledge and understanding of the fullness of Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. But we need to know about this fullness. We need to know and learn from God's word how he works and accomplishes this fullness. Because this is what Jesus walked by. He walked in the fullness of the Spirit of his Father. And we likewise are to emulate and walk the same. So I want us to turn to our Bibles, John chapter 8, verses 28-29. John chapter 8, verses 28-29. Hallelujah. We're calling this today, Knowing His Fullness. Knowing His Fullness. John chapter 8, verses 28-29. Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." And this ultimately characterized Jesus' ministry. They didn't know where he was from. Many who profess Christ do not know really where he's from and who he is. Because God has to reveal himself. And he only reveals himself to those who humbly bow the knee and desire him with all their heart. Those that desire him are aware that they cannot find him unless he reveals himself. The Bible clearly shows us that God first loved us. We don't love God unless he takes the initiative and puts it in our hearts. Now in John chapter 8, and looking now at verses 28-29, it says here, "And Jesus said to them, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him.' And when he spoke these words, it then says, 'Many believed in him.'" Now, isn't that amazing? Jesus reveals who he is. He says, let's read it again. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Jesus was not elevating himself as the divine revelator. In other words, I see it all. I am revelation to you. He revealed, yes, he was revelation, he was the Word made flesh, but he revealed where the source came from. He was at this point glorifying his Father. He was exalting him, and he said, when I am lifted up, in other words, when I have been raised from the dead, and I am seated at the right hand of the Father, then you will begin to understand who the Messiah, the Christ, really is. Because they didn't understand him, they didn't see him, they didn't recognize him, and that's why it was his people, whom they should have embraced and received him, in fact didn't, they were the ones that put him to the cross. And I will say it in passing again, religion of today still puts Christ to the cross. Why? Because they do it in ignorance, they cannot see. To be able to be a Christian born again is not something that lies in us. We can't do it. It doesn't lie in us. We're not interested in God unless he puts his godly affections within us. And until man begins to acknowledge that humbly before God, we have no hope. And so he's saying here, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do these things that please him. And that's why I'm going to speak today, over the next few weeks, about the knowing his fullness. Knowing his fullness. Because this characterized Jesus' ministry, and this is also how we will know and experience his fullness. To the extent that we're fully yielded, will we also know his fullness. You will know his fullness to the extent that you want to yield over, and experience his fullness. And God never forces anyone. We have that free will. If we choose and we desire to yield over and to go all the way, then we too will begin to move into that experience, the fullness that he received in the Godhead, that is of the Father and the Holy Spirit. So likewise, through the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we will experience the fullness of God in us. And Christians desperately need to experience that fullness. Because we can't walk this in ourselves. You cannot love your enemy in yourselves, in your own fleshly love. It's impossible. So there are so many things that we encounter in life each day that we are so dependent on the fullness of God to empower us and keep us and preserve us. This is why so many Christians who profess his name are coming and going. One minute they're on fire for God, next minute they're all down and depressed. There's no stability. Now this is what's happening in society today. As we're seeing this rapid decline and falling away, we're seeing in society today that people, this stability that was characterized, is not there anymore. And it's not only in society, it's not only in family life, but it's in politics, it's in commerce, it's in everything. Everything that we see today, we hear in the news, we're seeing that there is no longer stability. We've got a big expose going on now in the health service. What is is going on. It's fundamentally no stability. It's becoming all unstable. These are signs that are telling us something. And if we walk humbly before God, we're going to understand and hear what these signs are about. That we're at the close end of the age. That the returning of Christ is imminent. It is soon. And so, God wants us to begin to experientially move into the fullness of Christ. And that can only take place when we choose to decrease that Christ increases. Excuse me a minute, we've lost contact. Could I ask somebody if they could just keep an eye on this to get into the room? It's been showing up signs that it wants to log out. It'll come out. I've clicked on there. Right. So, to the extent that we are fully yielded, will we also know his fullness? Now, you may raise the question, well, you know, I've asked the Lord, I want to yield over, I have yielded to what I know. Well, sometimes we need to examine ourselves. We need to come back to the basics and to find out how we're doing. And that's why I'm doing this. And I make no apology for it. I make no apology today that we've heard this many, many times. And yet you will hear it also for the first time that you've not heard it before. Because that's often how this works. I find I can go back and read the Deeper Life in the Spirit book, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I've been in this walk now coming on 40 years, and here I've seen something new. That's how the Holy Spirit ministers, you see. Because the Word of God is eternal. It's got no beginning, it's got no end, you see. So never let us come to that place of thinking, oh, you know, well, we've heard it all. Let's hear something new. You'll miss it. You'll miss it. If the anointing, the unction of the Spirit is present, it'll be new. Because that's what is needed. The unction, the anointing of the Spirit is new. I mean, one could almost say, you know, we got it on. All right, you have to open it on. It's 16:05. I know it's being a bit, pushing it a bit too far, but I mean, you know, if the gift is on a preacher, he could preach on Janet and John and he'd hear it's something new they've never heard before. And that's the point, that's what I'm saying. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the unction of the Spirit. So, many don't grow in this because they don't understand the reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is always the big problem. And that is why the enemy attacked and still attacks on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've got evangelicals who believe that when they're saved, they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so what do they then have to do about speaking in tongues? Oh, well, of course, it's not for everyone. Well, the gift isn't, but the sign is. And the sign of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is that speaking in tongues. That is the sign. But the gift or gifts come in the baptism of the Spirit, of which then there is the gift of speaking in tongues, which is to be interpreted in a meeting, which occasionally we have. And not only that, but there is diverse tongues, various languages that can be uttered by the Spirit. So there are certainly within the baptism of the Spirit, and where with regard to tongues, the speaking of tongues, there are, to my knowledge, three gifts already in operation. The sign, which is speaking in your own tongue, which is a sign you are baptized. Then there is the gift of speaking in tongues, which is to be interpreted. Yes, not all have that one. And thirdly, there is diverse tongues. Again, not all have that one. And look how the devil has twisted and perverted it. So you've got all this conglomeration of teaching and thinking that is around today. But why has the enemy done this? That is the question that we raise. He's done this and confused because he doesn't want believers coming into an experience through the baptism of the Spirit of being able to yield over to experience the fullness of the Godhead in us taking over. Satan fears this because that is how Jesus overcame Satan. That is how Jesus overcame in his earthly ministry, in his flesh, and he embraced and took the cross on. That is how Jesus overcame the enemy in this life, because he entered into the fullness of the Godhead. He entered into the fullness of his Father. And that is the purpose why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. The doorway into the deeper life is as we yield over, so the fullness of God takes over in our lives. You can't walk this walk in this life otherwise. You cannot overcome the devil otherwise. You cannot overcome the flesh unless the affection to yield over to the fullness of God to take over in our lives, it can't be accomplished otherwise. That is what the deeper life in the Spirit is. Now some may say, well, okay, I hear this yielding, but, you know, I'm not sure how this works or whatever it is. Well, everything within us is an affection. We all have affections. You have an affection for your husband, for your wife. That affection is there, which somebody else doesn't have in the same way. And rightly so. We may have an affection for certain foods. Some like certain foods, others don't like it so much. We have these affections. They are there. And we don't have to work at those affections. They just automatically kick in. And the devil, of course, works on these affections, and so we fall, as we know, into these temptations. And these temptations, then they take hold and they grip you, and then you find it becomes like a love-hate relationship. People who are bound on drugs, a lot of them find it's a love-hate relationship, and yet they can't live without it. They've got to have that kick. Same with alcohol. It can be same with anything. But it all started with an affection. You don't just suddenly find yourself in that situation. The reason that King David bowed that knee and repented of that fornication was because he had an affection for it in his heart. And he didn't try to deceive. He didn't try and change it. He said, Lord, I have sinned against you, and I am the culprit. I am the guilty one. He didn't try to blame anything or anyone else. Everybody else today is trying to blame everyone. This is what Adam, of course, did. He said, God, I sinned because it's the woman you gave me. I'd have been all right without her. That's really what he was saying. And yet when God presented her before him, he said, this is nice, I like what I see. Yet he forgot all about that. You see? He tried to blame. Instead of saying, I have disobeyed you. I've gone against that divine principle that you revealed to me to obey you. I've gone against it. Instead he blamed. But he did it. They did it because there was an affection there. They wanted to do it. And the devil knows, and that's where he gets in. Now friends, how on earth are any of us going to overcome. When the devil knows these affections probably in us better than even we do ourselves, how are we going to overcome? Well, we've even fallen before we even start. We're all going to listen to this message today. Oh, I'm yielded now. The devil's got nothing on me. You haven't. I can tell you, even before you leave this place today, you'll fall to the temptations. So how do we overcome? How do we change? Well, it is over to God in His mercy and grace. And it's as we desire and as we ask for these godly affections that I want this affection to yield over to you in all areas. Put it in my heart, Lord. Whatever it takes, work it within me that I can overcome and enter into this fullness that will glorify your name. Now, if you really in your heart of hearts desire that and pray that earnestly before God, I can't imagine God ever turning his ears on such a prayer. He will move heaven and earth to work these godly affections within our hearts, if we want it. And that is the problem. There are still areas within us that we just don't really want to give up. We like it too much. And of course the enemy knows it, and he knows how to work. And what are we dealing with? We're dealing about affection. Unless affection is there, you can't yield over, because it is the yielding over to the Spirit that works the fullness of the Godhead within us to walk in this world and overcome in all things. What is this yielding? It's a very good question. Well, to yield, as I see it in the word, it means to bring every thought, word, deed, desire, ambition, habits, everything into the perfect will of God. And this is why the Christian has a prayer life. And this is why Jesus said, "My house is a house of prayer." Simply because it's about yielding. And to yield over to the Spirit requires also a prayer life. Because you have to take these things before God. It's getting into your closet. It's praying it through. It's settling it in your heart. And it's being completely open and honest. God wants to hear from Christians who honestly come before him and say, "Lord, I've got problems. I have areas I don't want to yield over to you. I have pleasures in my life that I like more than I like you and your word. And I know this is wrong. I have a problem. I don't know what to do. You're the only one that can help me. Can you show me? And can we start? What is the first thing we're going to start with? Because I have these problems in my life. And I can't yield over. And the reason I can't yield over is because I don't have the desire to do so." Now, that might be elementary. That might be things that we have addressed years ago, but we still find that it is with us. And God doesn't get it wrong. Now I'm going to tell you why you can't yield over. And it's terribly simple. It's the parable of the sower. It is still the heart in areas that is hard. It is that hard ground, therefore the seed still can't sow into the heart for faith to be produced in order then for the yielding to take place. You say to me, "Oh, Kim, I've been in this walk 20 years, 30 years, and you're still telling me it's about the parable of the sower." Yes, it is. Because our hearts are being worked on. They're being circumcised. It takes a lifetime for God to work upon the heart, for the heart to change from stone to flesh. That is why we walk by faith. That is why we stay with it. That is why we endure to the end. Because by staying with it, God's working within us, working away, moulding us into his image to work these godly affections, this yielding over, so ultimately we can obey. Because that's what God wants, is obedience. We're not, as human beings, very good at obeying. And we just have to acknowledge that. So this yielding over is every part of us coming under the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is the problem in Christianity today. They want Jesus, but they don't want him as Lord. And that is the big problem. We all want to serve and worship and follow God on our own terms and our own conditions, but it's not on. Discipleship is a complete abandonment and surrender to also his lordship. It's not my will, thy will be done. That is the Lord's Prayer. And yet many Christians pray, not really ever desiring or having any affection within our hearts to do God's will. So it's absolute hypocrisy, and this is why the world laughs at Christianity. It hears and pray, whether it be on television or whether it's in church, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What hypocrisy, when most do not have an affection or a desire within their hearts for God's will. They don't even understand what God's will is. And yet here it is prayed week after week. Little wonder there's very few real true converts found. But that's changing, brothers and sisters. That is changing. As God now is raising his true church, as the bride is making herself ready, as the church is being restored back to apostolic faith and authority and anointing, I'm talking about the true scriptural, it's changing. And praise and thank God for this. And this is why the devil tries to stop this from being birthed. This yielding is every thought, word and deed, desire, ambition, everything brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. And that's why human nature hates control. And you've got to come clean with God. You're just going to have to tell him, Lord, I hate control. I'm absolutely rebellious. I don't want to be controlled. It's the last thing I want. But I'm asking in your mercy and grace that you will work it. That in the end of my pilgrimage, I will have such an affection and desire and yielding for obedience. Now, if God can't do that in you and me, then we might as well all give up and just go and enjoy this life for a season. But he is God. He's a miracle-working God. And he can change these rebellious, stubborn hearts and change them from stone to flesh. And that's why we're here, brothers and sisters. Because something within us wants that and desires that. Hallelujah. See, many never overcome the things of the flesh because they're trying to give them up. And firstly, looking at this, I'm calling this yielding is a total surrender. Yielding is a total surrender. It's firstly a surrender of our selfish wills. We are selfish. We don't have to work at it. It comes as natural as breathing. We were born into this world, even as infants, we're selfish. And we will always put self first above everything and everyone else. Psychology calls it survival. It's the survival instinct. That's what psychologists call it. The Bible calls it the selfish will of man. And of course, that's not so good, is it? We don't like to be told that we're selfish, but we are. We are all selfish, and this was the big problem that God had with Israel. Let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah was trying to address this selfishness that was found with the children of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 1, we know it well. Isaiah chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 2. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. That's what the result was through what God had done. That's what he saw. I've nourished them, I've brought them up, and all they have done is broken my heart and rebelled against me. And there are many, many parents who can also identify that, and probably will say the same. I have brought up these children, I've brought up this child, I've done everything for this child, and all it has done is rebelled, and it has broken my heart. Many parents are around today with their hearts broken because of what their children have done. Hard. Now, if they can feel that, how much more our Heavenly Father for what he did and has done. Let's look at verses 19 and 20. 19 and 20 of the same chapter of Isaiah 1. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So there we are. He gives them an option. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you refuse, rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He says you'll be devoured, destroyed by the sword. Not only the word of God, which is the sword, but also the sword that they pick up to fight. Because Jesus said those who pick up the sword will die with the sword. And that's what it does. So he says in verse 19, if you're willing and obedient, which they were not, the law was to expose the children of Israel's heart that they weren't willing and obedient. The law was to point to something greater, which was grace and mercy. But because they weren't willing, therefore they couldn't receive the grace and mercy of God revealed in Jesus Christ. Because they were blinded to it. Because they didn't have an affection. They weren't willing. In other words, they were unregenerate. They weren't saved. This is why we have to accept the fact the children of Israel perished in the wilderness. They will not be found in eternity. That's how serious it is. When we remember that Jesus said, above all, you I have loved above all nations, the apple of my eye. But God had to let them go because they weren't willing. And he has to let us go because we're not willing. And yet God has shown us that he can change that and make us willing. That is why when people stand before the judgment throne, they will not be unjustly judged, because they will see that God could work in them to be willing. They didn't want it. They chose not to want it. And that's what makes me desperate before God. That can be in me. That I can predetermine my destiny. And on just the basis of crying out, Lord, work in me to be willing, can save me. It's scary stuff, friends. This is why the preaching, teaching of the gospel can be salvation to some and damnation to others. Two men walking along a railway line. A voice speaks out, there's a train coming. One gets off the railway line, the other doesn't. That's how we hear. Some hear and some don't. You see, it's not willing to bring our wills into God's will, which is the cause of most of our problems. That is why sometimes in God's mercy, he lets us with our own rebellious will go off into the permissive will of God. You see it in scripture, where he's done it with the saints for a season. And that's the mercy of God, because what he's doing, he's working in them both to will and do for his good pleasure, so that they find they are sick of that sinning. And they're only too willing to come back. And he does that with us. He lets us go off for a season. All right, go on, go and do it. Sometimes you have to do it with your children. They're so rebellious. Okay, go off, do it. And then they come back. Because they realize, eyes open, it wasn't what they thought. And they weren't going to listen. Sometimes you have to get burnt, sadly. Well, how much more does God work that with us? With us. That's why I say, parents, all God ever wants from you is your faith, believing. God knows how to do it. He knows how to break them. He knows how to bring repentance. He'll know how to restore them back. All he ever wants from you is just to believe in household salvation, that it's done. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, this is the cause of so much problem, that we're not willing to bring our wills into line with God's will. And because we battle against this, we haven't got this affection for God's will, this is why we find, and I have to say it, amongst professing Christendom, in the house of God, this is why we find there is so much depression, oppression, sickness, confusion, rebellion, you name it. Much of all that we encounter, that I as a minister have had to pray over people for years and years, they come, and I know in my heart, when I'm praying for them, this is a result because they're not willing to yield to God. They want an easy, quick fix it. They want to get healed and go off and still live in their rebellious ways and will. This is why Jesus said to them, when they were healed, go away and sin no more. He was addressing exactly the problem. He knew. And we've all done it. We've all had the laying on of hands. There have all been times when we have not received our healing, our deliverance. Why? Because of the desire to yield over and obey God is just not there. The affection's not there. So little wonder why we don't see what we long to see. We're longing to see, aren't we, the gifts starting to manifest more in the house of God. And we certainly want to see the gifts of healing and gifts of miracles, and particularly and so forth. You won't see any of that, brothers and sisters, until you're willing to yield. God won't give it. Why should he? He's not going to cause his precious gifts not to honour and glorify his name, because they don't. This is why Jesus didn't pray for everyone. This is why he was led by the Holy Spirit. And he knew those who had faith to believe. It's interesting, you know, that the areas of the deeper life which we have the honour of preaching, it's not something God demands of us. It's a willingness on our part. Nobody's demanding any of this today, because you have a free will. But if you value your life, your soul, and you want eternity, there's something within you is going to start to take this affection, this yielding over to God seriously. And you're in time going to start to surrender over to God's will and his way, you see. But none have been forced into this. We don't force you, and certainly the Holy Spirit doesn't. We don't force brothers and sisters who come into the room each week. They come because they want to. I'm here today because I want to. We've come for the meeting today because we want to. It's not because God's forced us. We could all say, I'm not coming today. Your will. So that is the deeper life. It's not something that God demands from us. It's a choice. I want to enter into the deeper life. I desire, I choose to go through that door of a deeper walk with God. When Jesus commissioned and called the disciples, he said, come follow me. They had a free choice. They could say no. It's interesting that 70 of the disciples later on that could no longer take his teaching and his word chose to go back. They chose to do it. Did God, Jesus go running after them and try to say, well, look, you know, I didn't really mean what I said. You know, now come on, chaps. You know, don't take it personally. Not at all. He saw the divine hand of his Father, God, working there. Predestination and election. Which many Christians don't want to ever talk about. You see, the self-will is often mistaken for free will. In other words, I lose my free will surrendering over up to God. Actually, what it is, it's giving over your free will. It's yielding over. And actually, it's by yielding over, as God has shown me, by yielding over to God, actually God does give us a real thing through free will. That is really what true free will is. The only free will we have and we know in this life is choosing which way to sin. Because of our affections. So everything God is restoring, giving back to us, that Adam and Eve lost in paradise in the Garden of Eden. If the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. Doesn't that speak of a freedom? Free will in God to enjoy him. We don't have a free will in that sense in this life because Satan is the god of this world. He holds it. He blinds the eyes of many. So none of us are here by mistake. It's even the grace and mercy of God. You see, God will challenge each one of us, whether we want this. Whether we want this work of grace in our lives or not. I do. I know he's working in all of us. And sometimes it seems as though I'm never going to overcome this. It just seems that there's not that will within me to surrender, to yield over to God. What is this? What can cause this? Well, it's often idols, affections. These affections, these self-wills, generally are in nature idolatrous. It's what we want. It's what we still want to feed on. It's what we still want to hold on to. And these affections can work in so many, many, many areas. But they work, they deceive also in a way that this is what keeps you going. This is what makes you you. This is what you have always been used to. This is what you saw in your father and your mother and so forth. It tries to blind us that we are a new creation in Christ. It still tries to get us dependent on the old way, the old man. But the good news of the Bible is that's all gone, it's disappeared. It's passed away as far as the east is to the west. We are a new creation, and now our present state in this world is pilgrims passing through. Yet they try to work as though it is still you, a part of you. It's what you're used to. And you see, we get a comfort, but it's a false comfort, from these things that we still yield over to. And there can be numerous things. Love of your home. Love of your car. Love of your education, your background you've had. It can be anything. You name it, it can be there. Love of food, which is a false security, comfort. That's why there's so much weight problem today. It can just go on and on and on. But you can't change that. You can try. You know, I was watching a program not so long ago on obesity. It's a huge problem that we have. But it was looking at some people who are way, way grossly obese. And there was one man who was 42 stone. And they had to get him into hospital because they weren't giving him much longer to live. They had to take some of the wall down and the door, and it took, I believe, 6 or 8 men. They made a special stretcher to carry this man out into an ambulance. Now, heaven knows how much all of this cost. But anyway, and what I couldn't understand was the family around them, I can't remember if there was a wife or whatever, they have been feeding this man, feeding this demon, encouraging this demon, instead of, you know, and tried to say, well, why have you given copious amounts of food daily? Oh, well, he likes it, you know, and what else can we do? You know, and you think, and I'm bringing this up for a reason. And so what are they going to do? They're going to take him into hospital, and they're going to give him, they've got to cut away some of the fat for a start. So they've got to try and get 4 or 5 stone off him, which they eventually did, which is nothing really when you're 42 stone. They then have to try and remove some of the fat so that they can get into the stomach, because they're going to reduce the stomach down to half its size, because that's the only way they say he will get his weight off. And so they perform this keyhole surgery, and you watch them doing it, and reduce his stomach right down, so that he doesn't want food and so forth. Now, the question I'm raising is, are they going to the root of the problem? They ain't. They're not. He will still have an affection for food, for eating. And that is what man does. That is what medical science does. Medical science can only patch over a problem, a situation. Psychiatry, psychologists can only patch up the psychotics in their mind. Jesus changes the heart, the will, the affections. There is the difference. Hallelujah. And that is why the gospel is a good news. They're putting money in to try and rehabilitate drug addicts, to try and change their mind, their thinking. They walk out of those places still with an affection for drugs. And the devil laughs at it. And we plough millions into it to try and educate. Oh, the only way you'll get people off drugs and drink today is to educate them. It isn't. Because the love of self opens the door to depression, oppression, and they're the things that you're dealing with. They love themselves too much. We all love ourselves too much. That is why it takes the cross. The cross is good news because it comes and it says, that love of self I'm going to put to death. That's good news to the Christian. The good news is, God is going to put the love of self that feeds all these lusts in our lives, he's going to put that to death. That is why you are dying. And you die daily. You have died and you are dying. What is that dying? It's dying out to those selfish things so that you can yield over in obedience to Christ. It is called the kenosis experience. It's that self-emptying. Little wonder the devil tries to stop us. Does he not? But God is greater. Jesus said, it's done, it's finished. I have overcome. I have overcome all things. I've even overcome death. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So don't be in despair. I know the surgeon's knife has gone in today and he's done a big, deep incision to open up. But praise God, Jesus is taking out the root of our problem. So that we can have these godly affections. But for those godly affections now, as I close, the desire has got to be there for that. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. What's even the point of having this meeting? I know I desire it, and I know you desire it. And I know those in the room there, they desire it as well. Therefore, God is going to work with these clay vessels, moulding us, shaping us into vessels of honour fit for his use. Amen. Father, again we thank you today. Thank you, you are working this within our hearts to yield over. You're making it an affection. You're making it a desire. You're working a desperation within us, Lord. Father, it is a miracle that you can change us from being selfish beings in love with self, that we can surrender all that and love God more than ourselves. That's what we want. And that is why the overcomers, with their crowns, will abase themselves at that day and take their crowns off and lay them before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As a result of this is what God did in and through me. Lord, we praise you for this. We thank you for today, for the Holy Spirit's ministry, teaching us, showing us, loving us, encouraging us. Father, you always show the way of escape. And that is, as we come clean before you, honest before you, laying it at the foot of your cross, leaving it there, you will work it in us both to will, do, for your good pleasure. We thank you for this now, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Thank you.
us in his word.